96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
That's Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump from earlier this week with more of his incendiary comments, this time attacking Muslims. His comments come after last week's deadly attack in San Bernardino, California. The FBI says the husband and wife terrorists were radicalized and influenced by the terror network ISIS. Well, tonight we are talking about the impact recent events are having on the Muslim community and how Muslims and non-Muslims should address this crisis. My guests are Yolanda Rondon. She is an attorney for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, and Robert McCall with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Lines are open. Let's talk about this very important and critical issue at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. You can also comment on our new Twitter page. That's Daily Drum WHUR. Please follow us and send us your questions or comments. I want to thank first Yolanda and also Robert for joining this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
First of all, Yolanda, and then Robert, your reaction on the very face of it to Donald Trump's comments about closing the borders to Muslims seeking to enter this country.
It's preposterous, and the actions that he advocates for are downright unconstitutional. To require Muslims to register in a database. What are we using this database for? Especially in light of all the historical acts we've known for the government to surveil these populations, Arabs and Muslim Americans. But also we have to reflect on the fact that this is based solely on their religion and national origin. They is not based on any type of true security assessment on an individual basis. Is a correlation of the assumption that all Muslims, all Arabs are terrorists, they're violent, they're the enemy, and they need to be contained, and they need to be controlled. And this is not the same type of rhetoric that's only been used against Muslims and Arabs. This is recycled rhetoric that was used against African-American populations, is now being used against Hispanic populations. You know, to call for, based upon national origin, for people to register, to be placed in internment camps, for refugees of a particular faith to be excluded into this country. You know, we have to look at the face of it and realize that this is part of a whole type of political agenda to push people out and exclude.
Robert, same question. Your thoughts about Donald Trump's comments.
Well, number one, it's just pure anti-Muslim hysteria, and I'm going to agree with Yolanda that this is unconstitutional. I'll add it's un-American and unpresidential. And I clarify that Trump responded to the online journal The Hill and clarified that his statement would also apply to American Muslims returning back to America from abroad. So this is a very unconstitutional statement. Under the 14th Amendment, every American has a right to return home. America does not bar its own citizens from returning to this country. And also, we do not screen potential citizens and travelers coming into this country based on their First Amendment rights. I just want to get down to it, though. Trump's proposal is being backed by the Center for Security Policy. It is a noted hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And if Trump is seeking the advice of anti-Muslim hate groups to inform his policy about American Muslims, it's very telling about Trump. Earlier, a few weeks ago, he said that Muslims have hate in their heart. I would turn that Trump has hate in his.
But here's the concern here. Obviously, we have seen, again, the horrific acts that happened in San Bernardino, California. We saw the attacks in Paris. Both of you have obviously spoken about the political ramifications of this, but what effect have those two incidents had on the hearts and the minds and the emotions of the Muslim community here? When you are sitting in close company, Yolanda, with other Muslims, and what kind of conversations are you having about these things?
They are truly scared to send their children to school. They are being attacked. They are being kicked off airplanes. They are being removed and refused service out of businesses and restaurants. Their bank accounts are being closed for no other reason than the perception that they are Muslim or that they're actually Muslim because their name is Muhammad or their name is Hassan. And it's concerning to us. Their reaction is they want to automatically apologize of something, but they have no right or need to apologize. Why are we requiring them to apologize? They didn't commit anything. They are Americans. And so when those American Muslims speak out, it's not because they're Muslim. They're speaking out because they're Americans, and they truly feel heartened that their country is under attack too. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that we don't place collective guilt on Muslims or Arabs in this country. We don't ask African Americans to do that for attacks or issues that happen in Africa.
But let us say that, and maybe not in Africa, but let me say that in as a black man growing up here in Washington, when we're watching the news for years, that's that inside baseball conversation. When you hear about a crime that happens and you don't know the race, you don't know the ethnicity of the person, that closed door conversation is, oh Lord, let it not be one of us.
And that's the same conversation. Oh, Lord, let it not be one of us, because people fail to realize that terrorism or any violent extremism is not defined to any one particular border, country, race, or religion. And so they know when any type of violent act that happens, and this happens to be a Muslim or Arab, is going to be painted as terrorism. Mm-hmm. But if it's any other type of race, a white Christian male, or, you know, Asian or any even African American, he may be mentally ill. He may have some issues. Let's look into further before we automatically charge them with terrorism crimes. But on the opposite side, when those same terrorist acts happen in our country against the Sikh temple a couple years back, mm-hmm. against our own director was bombed and was assassinated out in California 30 years ago, Alex O'Day, that's not terrorism because they're Arab. Because they're the minority group that needs to be controlled.
Let me go to the phone lines. I want to get our listeners in on this conversation at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about how the recent events and the recent political statements have affected the Muslim community here in America, and also how Muslims and non-Muslims should address this issue. Ron, calling from College Park. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just want to say I think that Trump is really putting his foot in his mouth because to make these blanket statements, not really saying how he would even screen someone's religious belief, which can't be done because people would just say, well, I'm Catholic, I'm not a Muslim. And then they would then. So I think he's just kind of doing it to hype it up a little bit.
Ron, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate that. Robert, can you talk to me before we go back to the phones, because the calls are coming through? Talk to me about radicalization. And when you're talking about the conversations inside the American Muslim community, how are these things viewed? What kind of conversations are being had regarding radicalization, even if we're not talking about violence that is inspired by it, but just discontent with the way things may be going for Muslims in America, just like things like African Americans may be discontent about the way things may be going with their relationships with the police, for example?
Well, the mosque is the spiritual center for all Muslims in America. I had the opportunity to go to a very prominent Northern Virginia mosque, Dar al-Hijra, last Friday, where several members of Congress joined the Muslim community, standing shoulder to shoulder, denouncing terrorism. What we found out about the shooters in California was that they essentially had avoided going to the mosque for the last 2 years. ISIS extremists and al-Qaeda extremists are afraid to actually enter into mainstream Muslim society because these fringe ideologies are not accepted by the majority of Muslims. When you actually look at training materials put out by ISIS, they actually warn against working with organizations like CARE. They warn against going to your imam and speaking with them because they understand that the cure to radicalization is inside the mosque. It's something that the community utterly rejects, and that we're working every day with our youth to ensure that they know what is the proper religion and what is not the proper interpretation of the peaceful belief of over 1 billion people worldwide.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll go back to our phone lines. We're going to talk to Alan in Woodbridge, Fred in Bowie, Eric in Alexandria. We're taking as many calls as we can, looking for your questions or comments, looking for some understanding tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay on the phone. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.